Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
We're continuing our study. We've entitled Walk with God, and we're looking at another one of those passages that uses that imagery, that picture of walking with God, that regular, consistent next step, following Christ in our walk with God. So that's what we want to look at this morning. And we want to just jump into that. And I want to read, while you're landing there in Ephesians chapter 5, I want to read verses 15, 16, and 17. And let's just see what we can learn from this wonderful passage of Scripture. So thank you for getting your Bibles at the ready. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Walk circumspectly. Walk in this particular way. Now, I want you to understand that we need to understand what that means, and we're going to break that down a little bit. But I want to spend most of our time talking about how we can put that into practice in our lives. And I'll give you a little warning in advance. I have more to share with you than I have time this morning. And that's okay. But I typically, for these series, really all this series and the last couple ones we've done, I put together a little study guide that goes along with these ones. And then our life groups, if they want to use what I'm preaching as their basis of their discussion and their study, they can do that. And if you'd like to get even more than I'm going to share with you today, you can just go to our website and find the little logo on the main page that says that, and click on it. And you scroll down to number 6, and it'll say study guide for session 6, walk carefully. And you can get that all downloaded for you. I don't want you to be left out. I might leave something out, but I don't want you to be left out. So anyway, that's enough of that. So walking circumspectly, it means to carefully, thoughtfully, with awareness, understanding there's choices, there are consequences, we need to make and walk with God, okay? So we need to understand that. And it all revolves around that word circumspectly, you see there in verse 15. Some translations will translate that carefully or cautiously. Circumspectly is probably a more accurate technical thing, because circum means around. So it means all around your life, all 360 degrees, be watching, be aware, be alert, be intentional in what you do. Now, when I was in school many years ago, preparing for ministry, the school that Julie and I were in would, over a four-year period of time, all the books of the Bible would be taught in the classroom by various professors. The Pauline epistles, those letters that Paul wrote, were taught by a man by the name of Dr. Paul Ryder. He sort of had a crew cut. I always thought he looked like a drill instructor you'd imagine in the Marines or the Army, something kind of just intimidating figure. After school time, for many years, he became a mentor of mine. One of the last places he preached before the Lord called him home was here at Mount Calvary back in 2012. He was here for a special time together. But anyway, I remember him teaching on this verse. And I find it interesting that sometimes you lose some of that insight or that memory. But I remember him describing, he said, here's a picture for you of what it means to walk circumspectly. Imagine a cat is walking on the top of a fence. And on one side of the fence is a yard full of Dobermans. And on the other side of the fence is a yard full of pit bulls. And as that cat takes every step, he's walking circumspectly. Don't want to get too far this way. Don't want to get too far this way. Don't want to miss a step. I'm going to make sure that my course of action is carefully thought out. Today we're the cats, okay? Today we're walking that way. And every step that we take, that's what God is giving us the instruction to do, is we need to walk in this way. The steps of our lives need to be thoughtful. Now, we're in a section of Scripture. Most of the letters of Paul are arranged this way. He will start with some grand theme of our belief, our standing in Christ, and he does here in Ephesians as well. He talks about our calling. He talks about our being chosen by him. He talks about God's mercy in spite of our sinfulness. He talks about God calling us out of his love, with his great love, with he loved us, bringing us into faith in him. And then he gets into the second half of the book, talking about, now, since you're a believer in Christ, this is how you ought to live. Here's the practicality of it. So it's sort of the why and then the what, if you want to say it that way. So we make sure we understand that, because we're jumping into a what today. Here's what we need to do. But Just to give you a little sample, I want you to go back to chapter 2 for just a brief moment, to two or three verses that you know very well, perhaps. I especially want this to be understood by anybody, maybe you've never trusted Christ or you're at the beginning of your walk with Christ, because I want this to be very crystal clear in your mind, all right? About the place of what we do, the works that we do, where they fit in that. And since we're here, we'll look at it now. All right? Verse 8, chapter 2, Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace is what God did for us on the cross. Jesus died for our sins, paid sin's price, rose again the third day, ascends into heaven, prays for us, all that things being real. That's His grace. Through faith, received through faith. That's our response. That's our belief. And he says here, for grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And that refers back to that whole sum total of what salvation is. It's a gift. You don't earn it. And that's what he gets to in the next verse. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. One of the great lies of our enemy Satan is to tell people and convince people that if you can just be, if you just be good enough, it'll be the counterweight to your sin, and you get a step into God's presence when you leave this life. But it says specifically, it is not of works. That's what God says. It's right there in the text in front of you. Make sure you don't miss that. Because this is something that people get mixed up in. Most people have a period of time when they are mixed up on this. It's very common. So it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's all His grace. We just take it on faith. We don't work for it. We just receive it through our belief. And then he says this in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, literally His treasured work of art. What He's manufacturing, what He's forming, what He's all about in this world. For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. So we put the works that we do, including walking carefully, in the right place because we understand this, okay? We are not saved by works, but since we're saved by our faith and through God's grace, we respond with works, okay? One is a response of fear. Oh, Lord, I hope I'm good enough. No, that doesn't work. But the other is a response of love. Because He did save me and called me by His mercy and His love and His grace, I want to respond out of love. So it's not that we are saved by our works. We're not saved through our works. We are walking in accordance to the love that brought us into this relationship, all right? So we understand this in this regard. So when we come to these passages, it's important to kind of put it in its context, and I wanted to make sure you understand that. And if you've never trusted Christ, friends, understand it's not your works that save you. And you might be a wonderful person. You might be better than most. You could be better than anybody, but you still need Christ. You still need Him. You need to trust in Him. Now, back to verse 15, chapter 5. We've talked about what circumspectly means, and I just want to get to some very practical, hopefully very practical applications, how we can bring this into our life, okay? But I want to begin with this idea, just to summarize, all right? Believers are to live deliberately, paying attention to how we walk through life. Deliberately, making choice, thoughtful, aware, taking some status of where we stand before the Lord. So, deliberately living for Him. And we need to pay attention to each step along the way, walking in Him, all right? So first one thing I want to suggest to you is this. We need to then, application. Number one, live intentionally, not accidentally. Live intentionally, not accidentally. It's easy for us to just drift through life, reacting to whatever comes next. But you probably found out in life that is very non-productive at best and can be very destructive at worst. But God calls us to something different. That's the reason He says, you Ephesian believers, walk thoughtfully, carefully, circumspectly. Think about how you're living. Do this intentionally. Do this with thoughtfulness. And I'm going to suggest a prayer to you. And I'm going to suggest a time you pray this prayer as well. If you want to walk circumspectly, aware of what's going on and careful in our walk, pray this prayer. Lord, how do you want me to live for you today? Lord, how do you want me to live for you today? And I want to suggest to you that that'd be the first thing that you get to in the morning. Maybe when you wake up in the morning and you're still wrestling with your alarm clock. Some of you have maybe more wrestle today than otherwise. I don't know. But before, when this day starts, Lord, how do you want me to live for you today? Guide me. It brings us into this reality that I'm submitting to Him, that He is there with us. He's present with us. He's planned this day. He knows what's coming that I don't. And I can trust in Him, and I want to order my life for Him. Not only does it connect us back to the God who, for whom we serve and walk with him, but it also is a good reminder to us about what we're living about. We're not living for ourselves. We're not living just to enjoy life, have fun, do some things, accomplish some things. We're to live for his glory. And also make sure that then that prayer and that concept propels us to live with the priorities in mind that he has for us rather than letting just our circumstances dictate to us. And then we need to evaluate whether our schedule reflects that or not. Now, some of us here live here in Charleston. Sometimes, many of us don't even notice anymore. But there are boats that go up and down the Kanawha River all the time, right? Usually when you're crossing the river, you're down on the boulevard or something, you see one coming up or going down. That boat needs two things to get to its destination. It needs a propeller to push it forward. And it needs a rudder to steer it right or left. You stop either one of those two things from functioning, and it's going to be disaster. That barge is going to slam into the bridge, or it's going to get crossways of the stream, or it's going to get grounded in the shallow water. It's going to be bad because there's no rudder and no propulsion. If we don't have something steering us and guiding us, which ultimately is God's Word and the Spirit who lives within us, and we don't have the power of God resting upon us and trying to honor His Word to push us forward, we're just going to be drifting. And sometimes the drift, you know, if you were in a boat and suddenly all that went off, it's probably not going to be a disaster in the first minute. It's probably not going to be a disaster in the second minute, but it's getting closer. Maybe a half hour down the road, then we have some impact somewhere it shouldn't take place. Because there's always this current that flows, and we need to be directing ourselves in the right path that needs to be there. So we need to understand that we need to live intentionally. Lord, I want to live this day for you. Show me how to live this day for you. I want your priorities to be in place. I'm going to make sure I'm not drifting, but I am intentionally doing what God calls me to do. Frankly, I'm not going to do it. But frankly, if I stopped right there, that should be enough. That should be very transformative. To just start every day saying, Lord, how do you want me to live for you today? It would be very transformative. Number two, be careful with your time. That comes right out of the text, frankly. Look at verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming is a financial term. It means buying up an opportunity when there's an opportunity. See a good bargain, see some opportunity, you buy it up because you don't want to miss that. Many years ago when Julie and I were first married and trying to make ends meet, and sometimes it didn't seem like they were going to meet very well, but the Lord was gracious to us. I went to the Kroger store in Beckley because we lived just outside of Beckley at the time. And there was a bunch of shopping carts down the main aisle, and they were all full of loaves of bread. There's all these people kind of just all around. And I thought, what's going on? I went down there, and they had a handwritten sign on one of the buggies that said, bread, 10 cents a loaf. I don't know which truck went to the wrong place or why they were trying to get rid of all the bread. And I didn't have to think about this. I don't know. I didn't even have to check whether there was bread on my list or not. A dime a loaf is a pretty good deal. Put some in my buggy, right? Because it's an opportunity. Kroger's lost, my game, why not, right? So that's the kind of thing. Find those opportunities, take advantage of them, redeem them, and use our time wisely. Wise walking always includes the wise use of time. It's a finite commodity, by the way, you understand that. But what's the problem we have in life that leads us to a place where we don't use our time wisely? We're distracted by something that's lesser important, so we don't take care of that which is most important. We're so distracted. True story. There was a lady I knew long ago. I know who she is, and you don't, so I can tell her story. But she said, Pastor, I had a little fender bender. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Yeah, I kind of ran into the back of another car. I said, really? And I wasn't fishing for details. She shared them. She said, yeah. Well, honestly, I was looking in the rearview mirror fixing my lipstick when this happened. And while I was putting my lipstick on, my cell phone rang, my text rang, and I looked down at my phone, and then boom, I ran into that car, and the salad on my lap just went everywhere. True story. That was like multitasking distraction. But you and I could just get pulled off. Just let our minds wander, let them freewheel. We have these devices we have in our pockets, and we pull them out, and oh, what a cute video. And then the next video comes up, and you just keep scrolling and going, and then later you're going an hour and 45 minutes and done nothing except watch cat videos on your screen. There's a term for it, and most of you know it. They call that doom scrolling. You get caught in this loop of just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. So we need to watch whatever distract. Now, something that might distract me may not distract you, and vice versa. But we need to say, there's a limit to this. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with some entertainment, but don't go into entertainment overload. There needs to be time for time in God's Word, time to serve others through in the name of Christ, and so forth and so on, time for fellowship, time for prayer. The question to ask here is this activity helping me grow or just fulfill it, just filling time? Is there a growth component to what I'm doing? Is there something productive for God's glory? You know, we don't just accidentally become spiritually mature. Walking circumspectly means in the use of our time and otherwise that we actually take steps to get there. If you, if someone said, you know what, I think next week I'm going to run a marathon, but you haven't been training, haven't been running, whatever, we all say, ridiculous, right? You don't just accidentally run and complete a marathon. It takes a lot of steps, a lot of hard work to get there and get your body in shape to do that. The reality is we don't just become spiritually mature without a lot of steps to get there, and part of that is how I use my time and how I understand these things to be real and live intentionally, not accidentally. Number three, you knew you was going to get to this one. Think before you act. Think before you act. Oftentimes, when we're beset by some negative emotion, we say something that just happens and just comes out. I got a call the other day from a marketer on the phone, and the company he was representing was a company I knew of, and I didn't have any negative feelings about it, but he offered that he would do this service for me if I would give him the time to do his, he didn't say sales pitch, but that's what he wanted to do. And I just said, well, you know, I have another company that takes care of that for me, and I'm very happy where I am, so I don't want to waste your time or mine. I thought I was letting him down easy. And then he went through a few more things, and he says, well, are you just not open-minded to something besides what you're currently doing? I don't think he learned that in sales training. I don't think so. Because the media was like, sorry, we're done. Wish you a good day. You know. Now, I don't know what his, maybe I was the 15th call where someone didn't take his pitch. I don't know. Maybe he's frustrated. Maybe he's mad at his kids. Maybe his dog bit him. I don't know. But I just know that that moment was not what he should have said, because if there was any chance, there was no chance at that point. And I need to probably stop and think before I react to that as well. But you understand, when emotion kicks in, you just react. We need to think before we act. Think about consider the consequences before making the decision which leads to the action. If I say this, how's it going to resolve? So here's a good question to ask in that regard. Before speaking, ask this question. Is this going to help someone else? Is this going to build someone else up? Especially in the body of Christ, this is why we're here. We're here to build each other up. The Bible word is edification, or to edify people, helping them to grow. Is this going to encourage their growth? Is this going to help them be more mature, growing in Christ, worshiping, loving Him, loving others? If it is, then that's the thing to say. That question alone will help a lot. Also, before major decisions, when there's time, stop and pray. Ask for guidance. And sometimes seek counsel. And especially if you have a situation where emotions are in play, stop and think. Wise people pause and think. Foolish people just react. And God needs to help us all with that. So that's part of that walking circumspectly. Not being foolish, as it says in the end of 15. But not as fools, but as wise. He says in verse 17, therefore do not be unwise. We don't want to be unwise. We've already talked about wisdom back in Proverbs a few weeks ago in this study. But we need to understand what the will of the Lord is, that God would help us to take those steps according to His will. Number four, be aware of spiritual dangers. To walk circumspectly carries this idea of being watchful. Be on the guard. Be on the lookout. Like someone carefully navigating a dangerous path. Just be aware of your surroundings. And what's going on, all right? And understand this, that the path that God has us to lead, what He leads us through, that He has us to walk, is a path that transverses enemy territory. Jesus understood this when He said, when He prayed for us, He said, they are in the world, not of the world, but in the world. So this world is no friend of ours. There's missteps all along the way, and I dare say that some of us, let me rephrase that, most of us, or if I want to be really truthful, all of us have experienced those moments where we've stepped and said, oh my, shouldn't be here, shouldn't be there. So be on guard for those steps that takes us into spiritual danger. Figure out where you are spiritually vulnerable. What might be a temptation to you may not be a temptation to someone else, but what is those things? How do you determine what are those things that are tempting us? Where have you failed in the past, and what is the pattern? What repeats itself? Because if Satan has something that's working, he's going to keep using it until we grow out of it and find victory over it. So understand that. Be intentional about what you put into your mind, what you listen to, what you think about, what shapes your thinking. And sometimes it can come, remember the Bible says that Satan presents himself as an angel of light. That's why we compare everything to the Word of God. Unless you have an electric vehicle, under your hood, if you have an internal combustion engine, you have an air filter. And that air filter filters all the air that the engine takes in, and it uses the oxygen in that air for the combustion that takes place in the engine that powers your car. Okay, that's the end of your mechanics lesson. But every so often, you have to have your air filter checked. Make that a regular thing. If you have your car serviced somewhere, they will usually do that for you. Not because they want to sell you an air filter, because that's just what is done. Because if you have dirt and impurities coming in, going into the engine, it's going to eventually cause it to wear and not function properly. We filter that to keep our engine properly running, but we need some filters on our eyes, our ears, and our minds. Because the world is pumping out all sorts of things that want to infiltrate our minds. And the filter is simply this: spending quality time in God's Word and filling your mind with His truth. And let the Spirit of God take it and convict us and guide us and mold us and be on guard for spiritual dangers. You know, if you ever traversed a place where it was like a narrow path or some hillside or mountain where it's a little dangerous, where you wonder if you're going to stay on the path, or you're driving on a road and it's getting a little slippery and icy, how your awareness suddenly turns up high. You're aware of every feel of the vehicle, every step of under your feet, because there's danger afoot. We don't live in fear, but we live in watchfulness, because there's dangers around that can endanger us. Number five, remember that your walk, the way you live your life, influences others. There's people watching that you probably don't know they're watching, or people noticing how you live your life that you don't know you're having that influence. And he says to this group of believers, now understand, in Ephesus, where this church was located, to whom he is writing, it was a very pagan culture. It wasn't just like it was easy to be a Christian. Oh, you go to church, whatever, no big deal. Lots of people do that. It was, you were a distinct minority. You were out of sync with the whole culture around, because it was all paganism. And you would go to the temple here and you would do that with this false god and all this sort of things. And every, you know, the majority culture was very anti-following Christ. And they understood that how they lived, if they were going to convince other people through the work of the Spirit of God, that they should be consider being followers of Christ, the quality of their life, their integrity, their humility, their grace, their love for each other, were those components which were going to influence them. And same's true for us, even though we don't live in quite that oppressive a culture, spiritually or religiously. But nonetheless, the spirit of darkness is at work in this world. And people are blinded, and people are in all sorts of pathologies of sin and addiction and all the rest of it. So you understand this. Just simply doing this, remembering as you live your life, someone may learn how to follow Christ by watching how you respond to life. Your example. They understand, and sometimes we feel like, I can't say anything because my own imperfections, we all have them. But if you're seeking to walk with the Lord every day and honor Him in some sort of consistent way, it will stand out. So we need to understand that we are influencing others. If you have people that live in your home, if you have little people who live in your home, if you don't have little people who live in your home, but especially if you have little people who live in your home, those of you, the parents, and some of you grandparents are involved in that as well, the influence that you have for the cause of Christ is greater than you think. And we need to be intentional about that and share those sorts of things along the way. Number six, regularly evaluate your walk with God. Walking carefully means occasionally to stop and examine the direction you're walking. How am I doing? Am I making progress? Am I full of joy and enthusiasm for the things of Christ, or am I gotten distracted by other things? Am I walking in a way that's productive, or I'm having the bumps and bruises of getting off the track and where you bump your head and trip your toes? You'd simply ask, here's some questions that maybe would be helpful to ask. Number one, am I growing spiritually? Am I learning something new? Am I working on something new? Am I trying to move forward in some area of my life? Are my habits moving me closer to Christ or further away? And sometimes that moving away is not necessarily something sinful, but maybe it's just something that's so overcrowding that you don't have time left over to spend time with the Lord. Or simply this question, very potent diagnostic question: what needs to change in my life? Most of us do not have any hesitation to be able to come up with a list of things there. So in summary, let's just say it this way. The Christian life is not to be careless. That's the uncircumspect walk. That's the non-careful walk. That's the non-evaluated walk. We're not called to live careless, but we are meant to be careful people in how we take the steps of our lives. Every step matters because every choice shapes the direction of our lives. Every step is influential about where we go in life. Once again, 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, sometimes we come before the Lord, what's your will? What's your will? I need your will. Just reveal your will to me. Well, here's one part of it. Walk carefully with God, before God, and walk in Him. Now, I want us just to spend a little extra time this morning praying. And let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our families. Let's pray for each other. That rather than just hearing this few verses from God's Word and say, yes, that's true, amen, but take these verses from God's Word and say, yes, that's true, amen, and now I want to live it out in life. Let's pray for God to be at work to bring that about, would you? Father, thank you as we all pray together. We thank you that you speak to us about the real issues of life, how we live, how we walk. Lord, we've studied several things so far in that vein from your Word. We have several more to cover if you would allow. But Lord, we want to walk circumspectly. We want to walk carefully. We pray, Father, that you would help us. Help us be willing to evaluate our lives. Help us to be willing to see where we are and take some stock of where we are before you. We want wisdom to guide our decisions. We want the Lord to come to a place where we're not just accidentally living this life, but we're living intentionally. Help us, Lord, to make sure that as we live this life, that we use our time, that we buy up those opportunities that time affords us. Help us, Lord, to think before we act. Help us to be aware of the spiritual dangers that are around us. Help us remember that someone's watching, and Lord, we need to influence them for Christ. And as we said a moment ago, Lord, help us to take good stock of our lives and evaluate where we are. Lord, we don't want to come to the end of our life and look back and say, there were big chunks of time, big chunks of life, where we departed from the path that you had for us, that opportunities were lost and time was wasted. But Lord, we want to be growing in you. Bring us closer to maturity. Lord, as we anticipate the ultimate step of change and transformation when we see Christ face to face, as we make progress to Lord, to that celestial city where indwells righteousness, Lord, help us to walk carefully and walk with you, we pray in Christ's name.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.